Story Chat with John Fornoff, the art and passion of storytelling. Here's your host, Brian Bullebush.
Hi, I'm not Brian, obviously, but Brian had to take a little time off here, but he said, go ahead and do the Zoom here where you are, which is a really cool idea. And where am I? Why are these people here looking at me, looking at you? This is Storyhaven, which is an amazing get together. We're talking about the essence of story. We're here in Austin, Texas, and we're at a lake. Let me show you the lake. I'll show you the lake. Hold on. The lake is right there. It's a beautiful lake. Yeah. And handsome people here. Okay. All right. And real quick, let's introduce ourselves. Just say your name and the kind of thing as we go around. Go
ahead. Sure. Nathan Webster. I'm from Austin, Texas.
Awesome. Right here.
Greg Toll, currently in Boston, Massachusetts.
Paul Hastings from Austin.
Rob Brace, also from Austin.
Tyler Hunt from live in Colorado Springs.
Alex Lorma, also from Austin.
Justice Hardy, Los Angeles.
Awesome. And I'm John. All right. Well, great. We're going to talk about story and like, we're having fun here. It's like, yeah. Okay. So this morning we pitched some ideas. We're going to pitch some ideas tomorrow here. We're here all this week and just talk about story. And real quick, just, I want to hear about Storyhaven. Tell us about what was the story behind Storyhaven. Well, how to get started, Paul?
Yeah. So I'm staying with some friends of mine and we were just talking about the importance of the ability for creatives to get away and spend some time that's unplugged. And that in some of our greatest moments of creativity that we've personally had was moments that we were unplugged from our jobs and careers. Because like so often we're trying to force ourselves to be creative, but that has like, you know, it's a counterintuitive. And so we just wanted to put together a weekend where we could invite some close friends to get together and spend some unplugged time. But when you're spending time with other creatives, sometimes magic flows. So that was kind of the key theme there. So this is our second year doing Storyhaven.
It's fun. Thank you for putting it together too. It is a lot of fun. Yeah. And encourage you guys as you're watching, you get together with friends, other writer friends, and do this. This is fun. And the lake helps too. Nice views. So it's good.
It sure does.
Okay, well, guys, let's talk about from your point of view, working with story now. What makes and from just you know. Enjoying good stories as you're growing up or just watching movies or just listening to great audio dramas or whatever. What makes a great story? What to you makes a good story? Just jump in. What do you guys think?
Is the mic on our computer that?
It's here. Okay. Yeah. So you'll need to kind of really project. So here we go. All right.
I think for me, a couple of things I was thinking about this recently, actually, is it's a good story for me is something that I can relate to, even if it's like a fantastical, mythological journey or something. If I can relate to the character, what they're experiencing, that makes it really relatable to me. So I think that's a good story for me.
Hmm. So if you're not relating to the character, you're not going to go on the journey with them. Yeah. That's good. Even though it's a crazy, wild world, if you can relate to the people, it really helps.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What else?
No, I in the same vein, I would say for me, feeling like I experienced the story, experienced what the characters experienced. So part of that is relating to them, but part of it is even just crafting the world around them and how they relate to that. So, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I find when I'm watching like a film or something, I'll know when the world doesn't know its own boundaries well enough and something happens in the film and I'm like, oh, that doesn't happen. Like a good example of this is actually the Hobbit movie, right? Where in the beginning, like things are kind of bounded and then they end up in the tunnel with the goblins later. And then they're like sliding down this massive chasm, like everything's breaking apart on them. And you're like, all right, now it's just, it's unbounded fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's lost the guidelines of its own world. And all of a sudden, it becomes ungrounded. And I find for me that actually like, kicks me out of a story that I could otherwise enjoy.
It's like the difference between like the Lord of the Rings versus the Hobbit movies, right? Like
yes.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Like one was just pure spectacle.
So the difference between Lion King and Lion King 1.5.
Yes.
That's
big,
pretty nuts.
Big difference. Yes. Yeah. So go ahead.
At its most fundamental level to me, story is conflict. It's about, it's about overcoming. It's about facing difficulty or challenge or a foe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the struggle that comes with
it. It's interesting you said that. When I was working with Odyssey, Paul talked about we would get letters from people and they're saying, why do you have your kids like why are they fighting? Why don't you have just like, why don't you have a nice story where everybody gets along and everybody's nice and everybody's happy and it makes a boring story. That's the problem.
You don't learn anything.
You don't learn anything because we all have conflict goes on and on. Yes, we want a happy family. Sure. But how do we learn through
life isn't conflict. Easy and we're looking for answers for how to kind of survive. Like I love thrillers. And so like for me, what makes a good story is like something that takes you through the fire. Right. Mm. And the deeper down into the dark you have to go, the more satisfying it is, like when you survive. And so like whether it's a literal survival movie, right? Like you're shipwrecked on a beach and you're Tom Hanks, or whether it's like a rom-com, right? It's like and it's like that just that lowest point of heartbreak where it's like, oh my gosh, they're like, you know, he's never gonna know how this person really feels, or like she's never gonna like be able to say how she really, you know, blah blah blah. Or like any genre, it's like that survival element and like going through the fire that I think is a key to like the most satisfying final experience.
I think we were talking about that yesterday about, I guess we're in the truck. We're talking about just when you take it home with you, you're watching something, you relate to it and helps you live out your life, your own conflict. We're talking about that. Yeah. That's good. Anything else? I was going to throw in something else. It's not an essential, like you've like this makes it, but I think it's an important element is a sense of mystery. If we've already figured it out, it's like, and there's no surprises. It's like, okay. It's, you know, I like that sense of mystery. It's like, ooh, what's this about? Who is this really? What's their background? And also where are they going? Just that sense of like, not sure how it's going to turn out. That sense of mystery kind of keeps you involved. Like, and always comes back to a question like, will, you know, what's it take to be a human? What's it take to be a hero or whatever, that kind of stuff. So sense of mystery. What else?
Yeah, I think for me, a big one is just, I think it was said already, but I can't really get into a story unless I really, should I look at you or this?
You can look at wherever you want. Okay.
I think the biggest thing for me is just characters and their relationships. And that might sound like stereotypical, but I think that no matter, like we were mentioning the other day, that I think a good story has characters that are interesting enough that you can watch them in different settings. That it's like, you know, a lot of my favorite movies have people that I could watch do the most mundane, stupid things, like eat breakfast or go out to dinner or whatever. But I find them intriguing and their relationships intriguing. And I feel like without that, no story is able to really be compelling enough, you know, or it's just like mindless spectacle. So I think a good story is characters, relationships, you know, things like that.
That's really good. Anything else that's going to jump into stuff? What else, Alex?
Well, I think you're right on, Tyler, in that respect. Great characters should, and watching a journey that a great character takes in a story should tell us something about ourselves. The stories that have had the most impact on me are stories where I see something of myself or my own experience in their journey. And even though my life may not look anything like theirs, the human component of that, I think, is what's essential. You know, the transformation that occurs in a character's life or the experiences that they have at a deeply human level, and seeing something of myself in that.
Wow. Relating to that, we're talking about that yesterday too, about, I think the best of movies, they draw you out of your, we get involved in our little world. You know, we think our world, you know, here's our world. We, you know, we go to Walmart or we go to school, we go to work, you know, that's our little world, you know? And it's like, and there's something that when we go to a movie, even physically, it's a big screen. It draws us into a larger world. And it calls us out of that little world to live life larger. To me, live life larger is to me personally is to love people. It's to reach out of ourselves and reach out to others. And I think also it's interesting. Oh, during the, you guys probably knew this, but during the Depression, you know, businesses were failing left and right, but movie theaters thrived. Okay. And you think about that, okay, movies, it's like, that's not like food, water, shelter, but it's essential because people are going to movies because they were looking for meaning out of the chaos of going around and it informed their, how am I going to deal with conflict or sometimes as escape? Yes. But also it helps us to deal with conflict. We talked about that earlier. Just how do I deal with stuff? How do I relate to that? And it makes, I don't know. It for me, when I'm watching a movie, I find the conflict you're talking about, it's like it helps me if I'm facing a conflict, you know, how am I going to deal with that? Cause like you were saying, it's like you're relating to your, like, that's me up there. How am I going to, I don't think I would do that, you know, or it's like, oh, that's a good idea. You know, it's, and so many times people are inspired by movies. They do great things inspired by watching a movie or reading a story. And you've heard stories like that. What are some stories that have inspired you? Tell me a story that just, it could be a movie, it could be a book, it could be any kind of story that inspired you in some way to live larger or whatever. It just, what's a story that inspired you?
I know for me, I don't know if everybody's seen it. Spoilers are okay. Gravity. The movie Gravity. Can I just disclaimer spoilers? So if you don't want to hear it, close your ears.
Okay. Spoiler alert. Here we go. Here we go. Okay. Here it comes. Okay.
Yeah. But the movie Gravity, everybody knows it for like the fact that it's like all these stunning visuals and it's like, oh my gosh, outer space. And oh, it's so cool. The cinematography. But the story really boils down to this woman, Sandra Bullock's character, who was trying to overcome a tragedy in her past. And because her child died, she's now stuck in this place of just driving, is what she said. She just drives. And it's kind of this avoidance of her life, the future, you know? Mm. And the film, again, people will talk about how it's like, you know, this idea of like, oh, wow, look at the spectacle. And, you know, there's things whipping around, the satellites, and it's hidden space stations and stuff. But it's really this character's journey to like re-engaging life. And eventually in the end, when she's headed in this vessel back to Earth, I love it because she goes from being this character in the beginning that's extremely afraid, timid, doesn't feel like she can make it. At one point, almost like just takes the oxygen out of a vessel so she can just slowly like sleep and then die. But she re-engages life. And then at the very end, I'm almost getting choked up talking about it. At the very end, she's on a vessel headed back to Earth and she has a monologue. And in the monologue, she says, I could make it down there in one piece and have one hell of a story to tell. Sorry, I'm going to say that. Okay. One of a story to tell, or I could burn up in the next 10 minutes. But either way, it's going to be one of a ride. And she makes it. But that mentality of like, I just have to go for it and live my life. And I've ugly cried at that part.
ugly cried.
Like, it feels so applicable, I know, for my life of hitting so many moments of like, I just want to give up, but I just have to go for it. And hey, if I die, I die, but we'll see what happens. So,
wow.
Sorry, that was long.
No, it's good. Movie just, yeah. Man, wow.
It just speaks to me. So, yeah.
Wow. It's interesting. Metaphorically, I was thinking about it. She's coming back to Earth. I mean, in more ways than one, you know, she's coming back, getting grounded or whatever. Wow. And that's good what it did to you personally, man.
Yeah.
Wow. What? Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
What other stories just did something for you?
So I think for me, one of the most inspirational or impactful stories I ever read growing up was a biography about Nate Saint, the Christian jungle pilot missionary to some very remote and violent natives in Ecuador, the Huayrani or something like that. I have no idea how you properly pronounce the name. But, you know, he went into the jungle, and it's actually not just his story. It's also like the story of his wife too, because he and a number of other missionaries, they go into the jungle and they believe that they're called to take the gospel to these guys. And so they do, and they know that this tribe is violent. And when they come into the jungle, the tribe actually murders, I think it's four guys, all four of the missionaries that come into the jungle. And a few years later, it's his wife and I think Jim Elliott's wife who still feel called to go back to the same native people to take the gospel to them. And when they do go back, the tribe is like, what? Like, we murdered all of your husbands. Like, what are you doing here? And they're like, well, we still believe that there's this calling and that our lives are not more valuable than telling you the truth of the gospel. And so not only Nate Saint, Jim Elliott, and those guys believing so seriously in this that they were like, what is my life in light of that? Like it's not more important. Like it's disposable in light of saving other people's souls.
Wow.
You know, and then their wives down the road forgive these violent natives and then still go back and share the gospel.
Wow.
So that's one of them, you know, just do we actually live out our lives according to what we say that we believe?
Wow.
There's another missionary quote which kind of ties into that. I can't remember the specific missionary right now, but he felt called to a particular tribe of African cannibals, And he's coming from a church in England, and the people in the church were like, don't go, like, they'll kill you. They don't know how to eat you. Like, that's what they do. And he was like, well, either I could go to Africa, and I could share the gospel with this tribe, and they might kill me and eat me, or I could stay here and eventually die and get buried in the ground, and I just don't see any reason to save my body for the worms.
Wow. Mm. That's a good quote. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's, again, living life larger than me. It kind of draws, you know, what else? What other stories inspired you? It could be a movie, a book, comic book, whatever, just whatever. I'll throw out one while you're thinking. I remember when Star Wars first came out, I was there, and that's where they came with the term blockbuster, that and Jaws, where the people would line up around the block to watch it. And back then, movies were bleak. It was the 70s. Everything was bleak. Fashion was bleak. I mean, it was bell bottoms. It was like music was bleak. It was disco. Disco, please. It was cars were awful. Just everything was awful. The economy was awful. Just 70s were awful. I call it the 70s era.
Yeah.
But not era. But it just was really bad. So movies were bad. There was like, and they're flipping the script. Like the bad guys were the good guys. There's the anti-hero. It's like, it was just, then Star Wars came out. It set the world right. And but there's something else about just, you know, seeing Luke on Tatooine, you know, he's in this little, you know, this desert planet, and there's something that called him to live an adventure beyond himself, and that really kind of shaped me. I don't want to live life on a desert planet, you know, harvesting whatever they do, dirt. I want to get out there and do it, and not just to get out there. I want to do like God's adventure for me, you know, because God dreams big. He's a big God. And I feel I want to get on with what he has for me. And I don't want to limit it by my own limited thinking. I want to just go for it wherever that takes me,
yeah.
Even to LA, which it did. So any others really impacted you? Story impacted you?
Plenty of stories.
Yeah.
It's hard to like grab it.
The first, I'm trying to think of movies that blew my mind.
Yeah.
When I saw them. And one was the first time I saw The Matrix. But the second one was The Prestige, the Nolan film.
Yeah.
And I was a lot younger when I watched it. It was pretty dark at the time. But it's definitely, I think, changed my life, because it's all about ambition and how far you will go. Like, if you want to be the greatest at whatever your craft or your art is, like, how far will you go and how much will you sacrifice for, like, is that excellence or like, you know, what is it? And, I mean, trying to be the best for like perfection. And like, I think it really calls out kind of like that perfectionism myth, which is really an art killer in every way.
Mm.
You know, it's an art paralytic, is this myth that like perfection, you know, like, can be attained in our art. I think it's a demoralizer rather than a inspiration. But yeah, I think The Prestige was still top 10 for me.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. And too, just as you guys are watching, if you there's a story or a movie that impacted your life, or just something that really did something for you, feel free to tell us about it, because we like to invite you to the conversation here. As we wrap up, we're gonna wrap up here. Why is story important? It's like, it's just, you know, it's just entertaining, whatever. It's sort of like, you know, it's like kid stuff. You just, you know, let your mom or dad read your story and you go to bed. It's like, what is a story really important? And why, if it is, why is it important? Why is story important?
You know, it's interesting. You say like, is this just kid stuff? And actually one of the things that struck me strongly one time, I was listening to someone and they were describing the power of story, especially for children, allows anyone, but especially children, to experience emotions that are not necessarily connected to their lives. So you can empathize with someone experiencing death. Even though you have not yet experienced the death of a loved one, you can at least have a flavor of that when your favorite character in a book dies. And if it's a relatable relationship that they can understand, then when your child later then has a real death in their life, it's something that they already have some familiarness with already.
What they've been processed, it helps you process. Yeah,
this feeling of grief or mourning, even from a book. Same thing. It's a way to experiment with ideas or to understand to place yourself into the feet of someone else that may have a totally different socioeconomic background than you do. So that was really powerful when I just kind of processed that way. Like, that's a really important thing for children to experience.
Wow. I never thought about that. That's good. Yeah. That's really good. What else? Why is story important?
I think story is important because it's basically a code by which we interpret values and facts. You know, we know in all your, you know, you're getting, get understanding. And I think stories are the most profound way of orienting a piece of information into a moral compass. Or what does this fact mean? You know, what value does this information have? And apart from a story or a relationship between characters, you know, information is not really valuable. To be transformed into understanding, it really has to go through a story. And you have to own it in a story, your own or someone else's that you experience, like Paul was just describing, through that empathetic process of seeing a character and connecting with them. So story is really the vehicle that lets us take information, facts, knowledge, and transfer it into understanding, something we actually use that, you know, goes from the head and migrates, you know, the 12 inches down to your heart. And then cool. You can live out of that.
Where information becomes transformation. Okay. So it's interesting. I was thinking about when you're talking about Jesus. I ran across this verse one time. I was like, what? Is that it? You ever run across a verse of like, what? I never saw that. It's like Jesus didn't go, he didn't go anywhere without telling a story. He told us wherever he went, he told a parable. It's like, why was that? It's like, it's, so he's conveying information about the kingdom of God, but he's doing it in a way that you can take home with you. And those stories have stuck with us for thousands of years. I mean, you know, it's amazing the staying power of those stories. But that's what Jesus did. He didn't go anywhere without telling a story. It's like, I think we're onto something here.
Yeah.
What else? What's story important for today? Why is it important today?
I think for me, just kind of go back to the new idea, it's like stories, they give us a way of understanding our own lives.
You know?
Because it's like parables. It's a way of illustrating a bigger idea or concept. You know, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. And I think as humans, it takes like words, ideas, concepts, theories, and puts them in something more concrete terms that we can say like, it's like that. So like the movie example for me, it's like leaving your fears behind to a new reality is like an astronaut descending to Earth in a ship, you know. That like contextualization, I feel like gives you a better framework for like, oh, that's it. You know what I mean? Like just
about
it clicks in our heads and helps us understand our situations, I feel like.
It gives you like a visual for what you're going through. I remember the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark, the third one. What was the
Holy Grail.
Thank you, Holy Grail. Thank you. I'm thinking Monty Python, but it's a different one. Whole different mentality. Okay. That's a whole different kind of storytelling.
Monty Python versus the
Nazis. Okay, that's right. but that scene where Indiana Jones, he's on the edge and he's got to walk in faith. He's got to put his foot over into the chasm. And of course, if he's wrong, he dies. There's this huge chasm and he's got to take this step of faith so his dad can live. And so he closes his eyes. And he takes that big step. And as he does, like the path under him just appears. I've come back to the illustration so many times in my own life where it's like, I know that feeling, the feeling of like stepping off, like, oh man, I hope this is right. Okay, good. Like, there's something here for the first step anyway, you know? And then you got to cross the skinny gorge and not fall off. But anyway, it's, there's something about that. It just gives you a visual, like you're talking about, of what you do, and it inspires, you know, when I'm taking a step. So as we wrap up, anything else you want to say about story? Why you enjoy story or anything as we wrap?
I was going to say I think that ultimately what it does is it shapes cultures. And if you take this all the way back to ancient myths, right? These things that have been propagated or sort of prospered throughout time for thousands of years, there's certain archetypes and ideas and morality that's built into the fabric of stories, and that's what we orient ourselves around. Like, I don't sit down and read piles and piles and piles of U.S. code.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the military, so I have read some U.S. code.
Mm-hmm.
It's not super engaging, but stories allow us to engage with those same ideas in a relatable and impactful way. So I think It's what shapes your culture.
Well, it's interesting. And just to wrap up here, we were talking about earlier on the podcast, a couple podcasts ago, about Charles Dickens wrote a story, a fiction story, and it enraged people, Oliver Twist, because they were enraged about how kids were being treated. It kind of woke them up to the reality. So he wrote truth in his fiction, and they overturned the labor laws for mm-hmm. children. And that was in the 1800s. That revolutionized their economy and how they treated children. And then Harriet Beecher Stowe, President Lincoln said, this is the lady that started the Civil War, Uncle Tom's Cabin. You know, so those are fiction stories that changed people. I think of other people that influenced Gandhi or influenced Martin Luther King by stories. They do influence our culture. So, yeah. Well, thank you guys. Thanks for being part of this. And we thank you for being part of it. Thank you guys. All right. Say hi to everybody over there. Okay. All right. Thank you all for being part of Story Chat, and feel free to just write in, just however you want to communicate with us, and just kind of let us know how we can help you with your story. So keep writing. We need you. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Story Chat. If you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions for John or feedback on the show, please email us at storychatwithjohn@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.